I wasn't expecting to be here, but God has brought me here, and it is a good thing to be at Peninsula. I'm grateful to the Lord, and I'm thankful for your worship team that really blessed me this moment, remembering that Jesus brought life to my soul, and I can live it every day. Now I pray today with the word that God will bless and comfort you with the message that he's put on my heart. And we will read a passage in a moment. But let me ask you a question. How do we build a bridge to society today? How do we love the people all around us that don't think like us, that don't know God, that are in darkness and don't have life and don't realize they have it? I've had young people ask me, how do I build a bridge to friends and people of their generation? And I've been meditating these months on the Sermon on the Mount and asking God to work in my life. And as I meditated, I was broken how I fall short. But God brought comfort. And I want there to be comfort for you today and encouragement. So I ask, from the Sermon on the Mount, which is three chapters, you can't preach the whole thing in one sermon, but the section that I've chosen is the Beatitudes, and I ask, who are the Beatitude people? Are we Beatitude people? Are you? Am I? What does it mean to be a Beatitude person that Jesus was talking about? Because Jesus said in Matthew 5:20, that's the chapter we're going to be in. If you have your Bible, go to Matthew chapter 5. If your righteousness does not exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will surely not enter the kingdom of heaven. What's he talking about? What's the problem with the Pharisees? Now, I want to mention that the light shines in the darkness. And in John 1, I have here, verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And Jesus said earlier in that chapter, 13 to 16, you are the salt of the earth. And he talked about what salt does. You are the light of the world. And I want to say today, if we are salt and light, there is hope for our city. And I will help us to see what Jesus was talking about there. So I asked, how will we ever reach those trapped in darkness in our city, state, and country, in Portland or anywhere in the world? And 3 weeks ago, I was flying back from North Carolina, where I was with your pastor and a few elders and some others from a supporting church in Oregon. And I saw the lights. It was a clear night flying and getting in the northwest here at 10:30 at night. So all across, I saw the lights in the major city centers all across the nation. And those lights shine bright from 30,000 feet. And Jesus said, you are the light of the world. So what was wrong with the Pharisees and the scribes? What was Jesus talking about? And here I have that he said, we're the salt, we're the light. But what does Jesus expect? Why wasn't he happy with the Pharisees? What was wrong with them? And here is Matthew 5:20, and there's an outline in your bulletin for you to help you follow along if you want to take notes. If I change the slides too fast. But he said, if your righteousness doesn't exceed the Pharisees, by no means you'll enter the kingdom of heaven. From the King James Version. Though the Pharisees had a problem. Of course, if you know the word, you know that they had some big problems. And of course, they weren't believing. They were hypocritical. They were far from God's heart. They imposed regulations and commandments and duties on the people, but yet they didn't live them. Jesus said they were like whitewashed tombstones, they're full of sin and shame, and they were very fleshly, very self-centered, because they had no life from Christ. They were really arrogant and reckless leaders. externally perfect, but the inside whitewashed tombstones, right? They couldn't live up to the standard of Jesus, and he saw their motives. They were not salt and light. Jesus did not tolerate it. So, without Jesus, no one is righteous. Light dispels darkness, and we must be lifted up. The light must be lifted up and not covered up. Who among us as a Christian wants to hide and stay at home and be like a monk and hide in a castle up in the mountains? That's not what God called to do. And if you hide as a monk and you beat yourself, it doesn't make you any more righteous. It doesn't take away what we lack. Now, salt. What was so good about salt? Why did Jesus use salt and talk about light? Well, you know, they didn't have refrigerators in that day. And salt was like a preservative. And they transported food like fish, and they covered it with salt. It preserved it in the journey. It kept it fresh for a while. And the Jews didn't eat meat every day. They maybe had meat once a week. And we will see later, and the Jews, they were always hungry. And they were always thirsty because they had this desert environment. So good salt adds flavor and protects against spoilage and corruption. So Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. The light is the life of Christ in us. The salt is the gospel, but also the good works that the world needs to see. So if I want to build a bridge, if I want to reach out to people so different, people that don't think like me, and nowadays when I'm overseas and I see things, you know, I don't want to watch the news anymore. I don't want those things in my mind of all this battle, because I'm supposed to be an ambassador of Christ and love the people. I need to have God's love to love the people. Can't do it on my own. We can't. So the world is dark and the light must shine. And Jesus is saying the world needs to see our good works and show them the loving heart of God. Not the things I hate, not the things I dislike, not the differences, but to show the heart of God. We are not to judge anyone. We are not to rub their noses in their sins. You know, some of us like to do that. And Jesus came not to judge, but to save, but to comfort, to bring life. But if we believe, we're not condemned. If we don't believe, we're condemned already. So the Holy Spirit will take care of what needs to change in people's lives. We must be like our Heavenly Father, reflect His light of love, forgiveness, grace, and not returning evil for evil, but good for evil, love for hate, and shine like lights. The good works help preserve society. There are many things that go on that are corrupt and bad. But if a believer comes, a disciple of Jesus, brings light and love and grace and forgiveness and understanding, and we pray and ask God, help me to put myself in their shoes. I remember when I was a non-believer. At age 18, before I was converted at Michigan State University, I didn't know God. Was not a friend of God. I was searching for Him, and He found me. Light shines in the darkness, but without Christ, there's no chance. So what is Jesus talking about with the Pharisees? They were far from God. Their heart was far. Their motives were for self-glory, to lord it over the people, control, manipulate. And Jesus didn't tolerate that. We must exceed the righteousness of Christ. I mean, the righteousness of the Pharisees. How do we do this? Now, I want to read, before we go to Matthew 5, from Isaiah 61, because I want us to see that what Jesus taught in the Beatitudes is also in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not going to have that on the screen, so you have to turn there. Isaiah 61 is a great passage. From verse 1, if you found it, "The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may all be called trees of righteousness." And the passage goes on. And so what is the heart of God? If you don't exceed that of the righteous, the Pharisees and the scribes, how do you do it? Who can reach the standard of Jesus? Those in Christ. Now, C.S. Lewis said, "Jesus came to do more in our lives than change the faucets. He came to do a total remodeling, restructuring of our lives from the foundation up. We need to be transformed and changed. And in Christ, He will do that. So what are the objectives of Jesus? He set the high standard, and who can reach it? Who can live out what we're going to read in the first 10 verses of Matthew 5? How can we exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees? Only in Christ. Only in Christ. John 1, 12, 13, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Christ makes the difference in our lives. And so Jesus said, "You are the salt. You are the light." That's what he expects of his disciples. And on that mountain or that hill where he spoke, there were committed disciples. He had just chosen his disciples. He went through the temptation in the wilderness. He chose his disciples, and he's there. He sat down and opened his mouth and spoke with authority. In John 3, 16 to 18, it talks about, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so I want someone who's here today who doesn't know these verses, that this is about coming to Christ and finding life and becoming the righteousness of Christ. "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And that describes the Pharisees. So the Beatitudes are a very high standard of the heart, mind, and soul to shine that light and be that salt. How can we do it? Is anybody doing it on their own? It comes from walking with God according to his word, and we seek his righteousness in our lives because we fall short. These Beatitudes are objectives to seek after and achieve. Now, you think about a swimmer or someone in sport. Now, a young person starts to learn to swim. I can tell you I never did. I couldn't breathe right. But those who start out swimming are not, they don't win races necessarily. You grow, you develop your muscles, your skills, your breathing, your technique, so that you can win the race and get to the end of that pool and back. And I know it's a long distance. But the swimmer didn't win the race in one day. So what I'm saying is that the Beatitudes that we will look at momentarily is a high standard that Jesus set, an objective that we can grow in and yet he does in our life. So I say, who is able, who is perfect, as he is perfect? No one. Is there hope to achieve in this life, this level? Not perfection, but we can grow in grace and knowledge toward the objective of being salt and light. Because that's what our society needs. Now let's look at Matthew 5 from verse 1. And if you'd like to stand as I read these. And seeing the multitudes, he went up to a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Then he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Be seated. Oh, blessed. Blessed are. Happy are or is. This means approved by God. And that approval brings joy. Beatitude, I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary, talks about being blissful. Bliss, happy, joyful. Those who are approved by God have joy, and the Lord brings joy to our lives. Poor in spirit is not a weakness, but poor towards God is humility, an attitude of knowing we are not better than others. We know we are not righteous apart from Christ. God is holy, and we are not without Jesus. All we have and all we are is by grace alone. Poor in spirit, recognition before God that we are but dust. We sin. We go before God recognizing this fact. Think about what Jesus said about the tax gatherer and the Pharisee. In the attitude, oh Lord, I thank you that I'm not like this tax gatherer, that I'm more righteous. I don't do what he does and rob people. Or a religious person who is poor in spirit, honest about our reality of having a sin nature that has been crucified as with Christ, and we have an ego. And there's other passages that talk about our ego, our inner man, our own will. And Jesus said, he who seeks to save his, in the Greek, psuche, his own will, his own inner pride as a person, then he will lose it. But he loses it and lays it down, will find new life, a new psuche, with a new nature, with Christ. And so the poor in spirit recognize this, that we're not snobby, proud. We have joy in the Lord. We realize it all comes from God by his grace. And so as we go through all of these, we will see the heart of God, what Jesus is talking about. And as I meditated on this, I thought, how do I love the person down the street from me who does all kinds of things to me that are just bad? Where is my righteousness? Do I have it on my own? And so I have to get on my knees and be humble before God. And as I meditated on all these, I wept thinking about where I fall short. But then God's comfort came because he said, blessed, happy are those who are this way, because God transforms our life. He works in our life to fill us with the righteousness of Christ. No one has righteousness on their own. Oh, they may be a nice person, but the righteousness of Christ must come from God in our life. And we let him into our soul, our will, and we lay down our will and we're willing to do His will so that I'm ready to love somebody. I don't hold it back. Love without hypocrisy, it says in Romans. To love people who are harder to love. A person so different from me, who has a different walk of life. You know, coming to Portland, Oregon, you know, I see all the news, I read all things going on in our country, and you all know it's not the country that I grew up in. It's not the same country. And to walk down the street and to see the things I saw or I hear what's going on, and I said, Lord, I'm your servant. I want to be like you. I want to grow to be more like you, that I can be near these people and love them with your love and show them God's heart, that God loves them. Not because I'm so loving, because He's in me and I'm a different person and I have the capacity to love them, to accept them, to listen to them. And I was in a restaurant this past week in Portland, and there was a person, I got late and I was very busy seeing all kinds of people. I needed to eat, so I went to the Olive Garden, which is not Italian, by the way. And I got, you probably know, they have soup and salad and breadsticks for a good price. And this person serving me was very different. I won't say any more, just very different. Not the kind of lifestyle I could tell that is compatible with my faith. But you know what I want to say? That this young woman was beautiful. And I had a conversation. She was putting cheese, you know, on my salad and soup. And I said, basta. It came out in Italian, which means enough. And she says, oh, you speak Italian. So we had a conversation, a wonderful conversation, that she wants to go and hike in Italy, in Europe, in the Alps with her girlfriends and go. And as we talked more and more, it was obvious that she was very comfortable with her choice of the way she lives. And, you know, 20, 30 years ago, I was uncomfortable around people like that. But I sensed a great liberty to love her, to show her the heart of God, be gracious, accepting, and friendly, and no hesitation, no wall, no barrier. I said, well, to love this person and others like him. And that represented growth in my life, because I cried to God that I need His righteousness to go about to be a disciple and make disciples with other believers. But how am I loving my neighbor and the people around me? I can't do it. So meditating on these Beatitudes, this is what God wants us, to come to Him broken. Lord, I can't do it. Fill me with your righteousness. Then I can do it. Then I'm light. Then I'm salt. And living in Genoa, Italy, you know, people think, oh, Italy, you're so blessed. It's such, you know, it's a nice tourist country. It's filled with tourists and nice things to see, good food, very expensive place. And there's many things after you live there. It's kind of like, you know, someday when I come home to the States, I'll be glad. But I love doing what I'm doing there for the Lord and equipping people. And I preached this sermon among the Romanians in Italian. And it really blessed them that as they listened, because the Romanians are like foreigners and they come there for work and they know the Lord, but they don't like the environment. They don't like their surroundings. And they're struggling to love the Italians because they work among them and they do the work that Italians don't want to do. The Romanian brothers lift heavy furniture like you can buy at IKEA. They say at IKEA in Italy. And they work hard and they go into the homes, and the Romanians don't love the Italians. But I exhorted them. They wanted to grow in this, to grow in the righteousness of Christ and the love of God in their life. So approved by God, those who mourn, not sad, but broken over sinfulness. We're broken over. We don't want to continue that. We come to Jesus in tears, requesting He fill us with His righteousness. And then we can sing the songs that we sang this morning. about his grace and about the joy and about coming to him. If we're broken, he will make us whole. If our inside is broken and we can't love, he can fill it and change our heart, transform us, and fill us with his love and his righteousness to love people like God does. He fills us with his righteousness. That's the person that's joyful. That's the person approved by God. That kind of love and attitude pleases God. He's glad to come and help us dwell inside of us and change us and make him like him. And we can show the world who he is, the God of love and grace and forgiveness. And of course, eventually the Holy Spirit, when someone comes to Christ, has to repent. But salvation is by faith and grace. And then the Spirit comes and convicts us of our sins. So it's not my job to judge people. Now, there are situations where elders and pastors must help people to work through things, and repentance must come. But he can transform us. The door to the kingdom of God is very low. Very low. We can't be proud and full of ourselves and our own will. We got to come down low in heart and spirit before God, dependent upon him. There's no other way. There's no other way. So you think about, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Approved are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, not being sad over a funeral or a personal tragedy, but rather feels pain and sadness. And we have a sense of our need for God and his righteousness. And I walk down the streets of Genoa, and I can tell you, there's a lot of beggars there with their hats out and their hands out, and they seem to think that we are an ATM machine. You walk by, they put their hat out, it's like pressing a button, and money comes out, and you put it in their hat. Well, I said to one guy, I'm not an ATM machine. But as I prayed, the Lord gave me a young man who's from Nigeria, that I found out his name, and I would buy him his bread. And I did other things I will not tell you about between me and God. But this young man is a Pentecostal believer, and he fled Nigeria for the violence. His mother died. His father and sister still live in Nigeria. But I was able to love this young man and show him the heart of God. And of course, he knows the Lord. And he's there, but when I don't show up, he's worried about me. When I was in a hospital for the surgery and away for a week, that was unexpected, and God took care of me, believe me. Even in social medicine country, the Lord was there. He took care of me very well. It wasn't easy, but patience goes a long way in Italy. But it's great to pray for this young man and help somebody on the street and help meet some of the needs. Showed him the heart of God. And he says to me, I wish there were more people in this city like you. And I said, well, it's only by the grace of God that I'm here talking to you. So we have a sense of our need for God and his righteousness. I need God's righteousness. Of course, we can always help somebody. There's always somebody's a good Samaritan. But to do it with the right motive, to please God and to help people. The Jews were always hungry. Why did Jesus say hunger and thirst for righteousness? They were always hungry. And as I said, they had meat only once a week. They were eager to eat and always thirsty as the hot desert blew wind in their faces. But Jesus says, hungry and thirsty for his righteousness flowing out of them. I ask you today, are we hungry for the righteousness of Jesus in our life? Do we need more? Do we want his righteousness completely in our soul that we exceed that of the Pharisees? You know, you can be a believer and still be a Pharisee, right? We know that. We can have a hard heart. We can be judgmental. We cannot have compassion for where people are at. And so my mentor has taught me, we looked and asked that we have the eyes to see what God sees, what Jesus sees in people. And even for those politicians that I don't agree with them, but I have to look and listen and see, where are they coming from? Why are they where they're at? They don't know God. To have compassion and to have a heart of, well, Lord, help these people. Help the president. Help the Congress. Help our leaders. Lord, give us leaders who know you. But for those who are, and maybe they might not even come to Christ, but what is my attitude? God is showing me I need his righteousness in my heart to see things the way he sees them. And I'm not saying that we just gloss over things, but it's the attitude of my heart towards them. God doesn't love me because I'm good. God loves because we are precious in his eyes, because Jesus died for us. And without him, we recognize we can't reach his standard of righteousness. If there's someone here today that says they can reach the standard of the Beatitudes on your own, I'd like you to raise your hand. Approved are the meek. Blessed, happy, joyful, blissful. Our lives are under control of his Spirit, like a stallion, powerful, yet submissive to his rider. We are under his Spirit because we submit to his word. Gentle power. We have strength and power, but it's controlled by the Spirit of God for his purposes. So it doesn't mean that you're wishy-washy and weak, that you have power under control. Happy are those this way. Approved are the merciful, because we have received mercy. We have learned from God to give the same mercy to others, to offer them God's love. We're ready to give mercy and not judgment. How many of you have received mercy from God? He said, Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Like the tax gatherer in Jesus' prayer, have mercy, O Lord, upon me. When we learn mercy, we receive it. Then we must dispense it. We must give mercy to others, to people around us. Have sympathy, empathy, and are able to put ourselves in the shoes of others. We feel their desperation, like God in Christ understand our desperation for him. God saw what misery we were in. In my building, there's an elderly woman, and right now her name escapes me. Her husband died many years ago, left her with nothing, had no pension. She has bad circulation. I see her at my doctor's office, which is down below my building. She sits there, and I talk with her now. She's a rather reserved lady. She doesn't complain, but she's really hurting physically. She just wants to die. And I say to her, ma'am, do you know Jesus? She's Catholic. Do you pray to God? Oh, you know, she doesn't know the Lord. And so I pray for her, and I'm praying for a moment to give her something to read. But she's in misery, and I just had compassion for her. So I want to help her and others like her, and her family has abandoned her, and she's without the Lord, and she's probably near the end of her life, and she's not very healthy. I hope she's still alive when I go back this week. And so I see something changing in me more and more, that I want to have the heart of Jesus for these lost people. Approved are the pure in heart. Cleansed in the inner person of the heart. God purifies our hearts. He heals the hardness, the impurity, the selfishness. Because sin is not hidden from God or ignored. It is confessed and he cleanses us. And we need to approach the light. Now in life. Draw closer to God every day to grow in grace and knowledge and his righteousness shining through our life. So I've got here, what's our central idea? to this long and one of the most important sermons, and there's much more to talk about in these chapters that Jesus delivered to the committed disciples. So I say, when we treat our enemies equally as we do our friends, we are like God. When we cry out and are broken for our sins about how far we fall short to His righteousness, when we don't feel we're better than others, when we are ready to be like Jesus, we want to be like Jesus, right? We are Beatitude people. We are those that have the riches of His glory in our earthen vessels of clay. And so the world needs us to love. He needs the light to shine, and the grace to flow, and the mercy to flow, the love to flow that shows the heart of God. And we're not glossing over sin and shame. People are lost. They don't know for whatever reason. But we don't have to feel we're better than them. We are in Christ. We are blessed. They are not yet. And that's when the church becomes like a city illuminated, is salt that preserves from corruption, that brings something, good works to life. And that part of the breakdown of society. So I ask, are we Beatitude people? Are we salt and light in dark places of our city and society? And I tell you, that's what I need to be in Italy. It's a dark place. I ask us all to reflect on the condition of our hearts, minds, and souls. And ask, do we feel approved by God? Do I listen to my brother who tells me he sees something in my life? Do I listen to my mentor if he shares something that he sees in my life? Say, yes, God, I want to talk to you about this. I recognize this. I want to grow. I want to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. So you feel approved by God? And if you're this way, and if you're not, I want you to be comforted that what we lack, Jesus will supply. He will build into our lives. Now think of a musician. This illustration I got from Haddon Robinson. He's a great man of God who's passed away. Think of, like, I was learning piano once, and my lessons were always interrupted. I learned to hit the keys, but I can never play a song any more than Mary Had a Little Lamb. But think of a great musician who practices, who knows the keys, and the music is a part of their being, their soul, or any music that plays, is it Chopin? And they play it so well, they're not just hitting keys. They know the notes, they know the music, and they play it as it was supposed to be played. And I think Jesus is talking about this in the Christian life. We know Him. We know the Word. We can do the right things externally. But what's going on the inside? Is His righteousness part of who we are, of what we're seeking to live? Do we let Him work in us? Happy, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, who are mourn, who hunger and thirst for His righteousness, and the rest that's in here. So if we are salt and light, there is hope for our cities, town, states, and country, and the world. If we are not salt and light, if we fail, if the light is hidden, if the light is covered up by sin or by attitudes or by lack of love, if we don't have love, we are nothing. We're just noise. And so these Beatitudes have hit me as I've meditated upon them. They're not just for some future life in heaven. The Beatitudes are for now in this life to walk before God. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. He's counting on us as we walk with Him that we will want Him to fill us and get out of the way of the Spirit of God. The treasure to have the lid taken off, and the joy and the glory and the love of Christ in our life to shine. on those around us who need to see it. Even if they don't want to see it, God is glorified in our life. Oh, here's an image of the light shining in the cities around our country, in the population areas. What about the church? What about us as followers of Christ, disciples of Christ, servants of Jesus, sons and daughters of God? We let our light shine. The people get to see what Jesus has done for us. Do they get to see who God is in our life, who our God is, that God is a God of love. Of course, He's a God of justice. He will hold accountable. But we're supposed to be salt and light like Jesus was talking about. Let's respond to God in prayer. Father, I thank you for the Spirit of God who keeps teaching me, for the Spirit of God that indwells us, for your word that speaks to us. And I pray, Lord, that today from your word that we heard something from your voice that you have spoken to us, that as followers of Christ, we can exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, not just externally showing smiles, but from the inside out, showing who you are and impacting people's lives, that people will glorify God, that people will come to Christ, that people will know that our God is a God of love and care. We're salt and light of the world. Help us to be that, to rest in that, to rejoice in that, and to glorify you in that, to that end. In Jesus' name, amen.